Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's hour three of In This League. The ITL boys. Go to InThisLeague.com. Follow us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. Those are some of the things that you can do while also upgrading your experience over at Patreon.
With the double D.
Patreon.com/ITL Army. Go do that. You're supporting us, and it essentially assures you future best friends in Bogman and I.
That's right.
Yeah. Best friends forever.
The three best friends that anybody could ever have.
You.
And will never, ever, 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 ever leave each other.
You, Bogman, me, and your money. That's what it is. Also, if you guys are... I'm just being stupid now. If you guys are prepping for what the hell to do with your teams. You're like, okay, we got our league set. We got the team set. How are we going to like properly set this league up and make it cool? Our boys over at officialfantasyrings.com, they've got your hookup with really, really cool customized rings they can do, and they actually look nice. They're not these cheap green ones. They are pro stuff. He did a replica Eagles Super Bowl ring that looks incredible. They're doing rings for Michael Rapaport, the kings of comedy, like George Lopez has hired them out. A lot of people, Eddie Griffin, Cedric the Entertainer, use official fantasy rings. It's not just for fantasy rings, but that is what the business model is set around. And use promo code ITL, and they will hook you up if you pre-order your ring right now. So go upgrade your league this year and get one of them rings. That's what Bogman and I do.
Put a ring on it. I love getting the rings. Our guy Jesse Sevier is like, he's like Thanos.
That's right. I like this tweet from C.D. Carter. It says, the best advice I could offer before your fantasy draft, remember that every one of your league mates, like you, will one day be rotting underground, covered in writhing mess of worms. Good luck.
Or they'll get cremated.
I like that one. I like, oh, yeah. Cremated.
I mean, there's other options.
You get your cremated?
I don't care. Do whatever you want with me.
Oh, you're like Louis?
Yeah, throw me in the garbage. Doesn't make any difference.
Do whatever you want.
I don't care.
I think dressing you up would be fun.
Do it. I don't care.
You in a Bernie's.
Do you like those? What is it? What? I know there's a country where they like pose the body. Like there was this one guy who died in a motorcycle accident, and they posed him next to his motorcycle.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, I thought it was really weird, but it's like the custom that they...
Is that like...
Dress me up like a clown. Throw me off a roof. I don't care.
Dia de Muertos? Is that like what that is?
Dia de, like, de Muertos. Oh, yeah, no, I don't know what it is, but I don't care what you do. I'm dead. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay. Well, what do you think? Let's decipher that tweet for a minute. Is that supposed to be like, let's all just chill out because we're all going to die soon? Or is it like... Listen, everyone's a scumbag just like you, so you can say anything you want because there's no God.
Okay. It's a nihilist tweet. It's like, look, this isn't going to matter anyway. So you're all, it doesn't matter how great your fantasy team is, you're going to die.
Like, I see C.D. Carter's tweet
like
this.
That's a statement that the Welsh hates, though. You don't like thinking about that.
No, I don't like thinking about that, but it's true. Like, I see C.D. Carter's tweet here, and all I hear is that scene from, what is it? I don't remember the movie, but it goes, "No God." What movie is that? Do you remember that?
No God.
The vampires that go to Alaska at night.
The vampires that go to Alaska at night.
Vampires Alaska. I bet it'll be the first thing that comes up. 30 Days of Night. There we go. With
I've never seen that.
You never saw that?
I don't think I have.
Good movie. Josh Hartnett. Melissa George. It's like in Alaska.
Now, who is Melissa George? What else has she been?
As soon as you see her, you'll be like, I know
look it
her. Yep. Oh, Ben Foster is in the movie. Ben Foster is awesome in everything.
Melissa George. Ish.
You know her.
Do I though?
Yeah. Danny Houston, who plays the main like bad vampire guy, he's like in the X-Men movies. Like Danny Houston.
Oh yeah. He's a bad guy in everything.
Yep. Melissa George, you just know they're in all the stuff.
Who's the guy you said is good in everything?
Ben Foster. Yeah. You know, Ben Foster's like incredible actor.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you haven't seen that.
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, yeah.
He was, wasn't he the guy that killed the kid in, or no, no. He was the kid's brother in, he was really weird in that Alpha Dog movie.
Yeah.
With JT.
Yeah.
And like the kid with the weird eyes.
He's
he
like
was
intense.
A bad guy.
Oh, was he? Oh, we just brought it back to the girl next door.
Yeah, he was the bad guy, the Emil Hirsch or whatever his name is.
So we're playing 6 degrees of Emil Hirsch.
That's right.
Okay. I suggest you go watch it. Bogman, you love your movies. Go watch 30 Days of Night. It's actually a good flick. And like I said,
what was the vampire movie that James Woods was in? That might have been one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, God. That was the something boys.
The Lost Boys? That's not
James,
The Lost Boys.
James. Oh, no. I know what you're talking about. James Wood, Vampire. I thought there's a scene I remember that I liked about that. It was just called Vampires.
It's just called Vampires?
I think so. Yeah, that's
okay,
it.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, I'm looking it up.
With
so bad. Oh, it was bad.
It was a John Carpenter movie.
It was. I just remember in high school we had this, you know, because we went to the rich kid high school. There was this this girl with like a, you know, a projection room in her house with like a little movie theater and everything, and we let someone pick movies, like a different person got to pick a movie each week, and someone picked this movie and we just endlessly gave him crap about it, and he got super butt hurt and upset, which made it even better.
I just remember there's like a scene where they're like going down an elevator shaft or something like that. I don't really remember vampires.
I remember where there's a scene with James Woods where he goes, "Does that get your hard?" and grabs the dude's junk. And I was like, what is happening in this movie? What is happening right now?
Can we do a live watch of that? Let's do a live watch of that.
It's 6.1 out of 10 on IMDb. And let's see its Rotten Tomato.
Oh, yeah. And then let's check 30 Days a Night, and then we'll talk fantasy football.
So. Vampire Rotten Tomatoes.
What do you got?
Let's see. Pulling it up here.
This is good radio.
Jeez. This has – well, usually it just pops right up on Google, but there's – 3 different vampire movies, 38% on Rotten Tomato.
Is that the tomato meter or audience? What did audience score it?
Audience has 47%.
Ooh, 30 Days of Night got a 51% from the tomato meter, but a 56% from audience. 30 Days of Night, way better than that. No
God. I'll try it. Yeah, I'll try it.
Yeah, Danny Houston, just that scene. That scene is like super memorable. He just goes up and they're like, oh my God. And he goes, no God.
That's the guilty pleasure. True Blood. Watch every
season
of True Blood. It's awful.
It's
not good.
Dude, is there any show that got
gets worse?
Dexter. But I am so right about that, by the way.
Yeah. Yep.
No show had a better start and a worse ending than Dexter on the planet.
Right, yeah.
But is there any show that got more attention than True Blood? That was absolute dog crap. There's no show that was worse that got everyone.
Like, it wasn't good.
The premise was great.
Here's the deal. Look, it wasn't good to start with, but it was watchable, right? It was interesting. What's going to go on? Who's the authority?
I thought the premise that vampires had this synthetic drink that made them kind of like, you know, publicly able to be around and societal type of thing. Like, that made it half interesting. That was a little bit different. But then they're like, hey, look, there's some fairies over here. And hey, look, we're going to.
Oh, yeah. And then there's were-panthers and were-tigers, were-coyotes, and all the different were-things, you know. And then there's fairies. And then there was all this other stuff. And it just, it got so weird.
It was so,
so fast.
Bad. It was
fun, way out of control. There was a guy that could turn into a bull. It was just a whole thing.
Dude, vampires or True Blood? James Wood, vampires or True Blood?
True Blood.
Well, that's, I think I'd rather
watch
Sookie.
All the seasons of True Blood again than watch vampires one time.
I think you're wrong.
I could be wrong.
I think
I mean, like, I'm not going to go back and find out.
Some of the initial stuff in True Blood, you'll be like, oh, yeah, it's not bad. And then when you start getting into them wearing, like, you know, like a sunblock and trying to go out in the sun, and then there's fairies, and there's the fairyland they go to, and it's just, it's unwatchable.
Isn't there some voodoo in there at some point?
Absolutely.
Also,
of course there is. Of course there is.
Why wouldn't there be?
When there's vampires and were-dogs, what else would you do than go to voodoo?
Right. Yep. I mean, you're absolutely right. So maybe I would watch vampires one time.
How do we even come back from this now?
I have no idea. I don't know how we got on.
I think I said, no, God, from C.D. Carter. That's what we said. His tweet where you said it. What did you say it was? It was nihilistic.
Yeah, it's nihilistic.
And I was like, no, God. And then we just went down.
Well, the best vampire movie is Interview with the Vampire, by far. Easy.
Oh,
takes
boy.
The vampire. I mean, takes look.
Well, that's
going
to have to be a secret
Blade's pretty
show.
Good.
No, it's going to have to be a secret show. We're going to have to save that. That'll be on one of the secret shows. I think we have to talk. One show is best zombie movie. One is going to have to be best vampire movie.
Right.
And here's one thing.
28 days later. Right?
There's no such thing as a good werewolf movie.
No, I don't think there is.
Nope. Don't exist. Why? Because it is a trash monster.
Do you know that? I don't know how we're in on this, but there is an ending scene. What's the werewolf movie with Michael J. Fox?
Teen Wolf?
Teen Wolf. At the very end of the movie, they're like in a high school or something. I don't know why I know this. This is a very weird fact. But some dude at the end, you could go on YouTube and find it, just pulls out his crank. There's like a bunch of people in the last scene. It's like, oh, like I think he made a game winning shot or something. I don't know. They're playing basketball or something, and they're raising him, and some dude in the background just pulls it out.
Okay.
And they didn't catch it in editing at all.
All right. So we're down this rabbit hole just real quick, but I'm going to list off real quick some werewolf movies. None of these are good, and I don't think you're allowed.
I thought you were getting us back on track.
No, I'm going to get us back on track.
You're like, no, I'm going to list some werewolves.
You can't find a werewolf movie that doesn't have a vampire involved to make – that doesn't count. Because Underworld, people would talk about, was where werewolves got okay, but vampires were heavy in it. So here are some wolf movies. Teen Wolf.
Okay.
Van Helsing, but I think vampires are involved in that.
Yes, American Werewolf in Paris.
That might be the best one. There's one called Wolfman with Anthony Hopkins and Benicio del Toro.
Oh my God, that was so bad.
Red Riding Hood. There's one called Where Cursed with, oh God, Christina Ricci. It's the worst character that has ever existed on the planet ever is the werewolf. It's the dumbest thing ever. We need to kill off the werewolf. And how do we do it? We draft Adrian Peterson in the ninth round or something like that. So here's what we're going to go through. Good on you if you have stuck around for this. You're experiencing the full mode of In This League right now of just our manic thoughts that go all around.
This is why we own weirdholes.com.
We do own that. Yeah, we would own a couple others if we could have jumped on them and not made sites out of them. But we've got the Roto World mock here, and I think this is interesting. You wanted to pull this together. I know those guys probably break it down, but we're going to take a little look at it. It's a popular place that a lot of people are going to go and look for their draft information. There's no doubt about it. Hopefully, you're doing the smart thing and listening to fun podcasts that are going to get you critically thinking like this one. But I know a lot of people are going to do what we talked about earlier and things we hate in this kind of drudge of fantasy football time. This little crunch time is where the person's like, when's draft? Oh, tomorrow? Okay, I'll just buy the Roto World package like tomorrow. And they're just going to cram and look at articles or, you know, people would buy magazines. This is interesting. This is a 12-team PPR. I'll be honest with you. I don't know 3/4 of the people that are involved in this. I know Pat Doherty. I see Evan Silva, and I see Raymond Sutherland, and that's it.
Yeah, I think these may be new guys, or these may be, I've heard Rich Habrar before, but the other guys, I think, are probably the guys that like do the updates and stuff like that.
So we're not going to go nuts about this, but I want to point out one quick thing that is really jumped out to me, because it's very standard, the first four picks, even through the first six. This jumps out as an immediate, like, oh, type of a thing. In this PPR draft, the last five picks in the first round are all wide receivers. Every single one of them. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I know we're in this weird territory where we, you know, it used to be don't take running backs. All you do is take wide receivers. They're the only things you can trust. I look at this.
You know how many guys went running back, real quick? Two.
See, okay, that's where I was going to go with it, Bogman. I can't understand in my stupid little brain here. First off, we're going to flip to the second round. Those five guys from pick 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 all took wide receivers. They then all proceeded to take running backs coming back. I don't understand how, first off, Melvin Gordon fell to 16. I can't wrap my head around how someone didn't want to pair them out and have an advantage, because like you just said, there's only two guys that did the running back scenario, and it ended up being the guy with the number one pick who got Lev Bell and then took Joe Mixon, and the number three pick who took Elliott and Devontae Freeman. You could be in a situation where any of these guys, I mean, I'm looking right here, like just take number 11. Could have Kareem Hunt and Melvin Gordon.
It worked out for a couple of these dudes, because I'm looking at this draft and
yeah, Jerick right.
McKinnon fell to 32 for Kyle Gam. So he wound up with OBJ, Dalvin Cook, and Jerick McKinnon.
That's
so
incredible. Not going to happen anywhere, though.
Jordan Howard at 33. So this dude, Evan Silva, actually, it's Hopkins, Gordon, and Howard.
That's ridiculous.
And Ray Summerlin wound up with Keenan Allen, Leonard Fournette, and LeSean McCoy.
You know, we make a big deal about how this doesn't happen anywhere, and it's not fair to say, because there's another strategy that always exists out there, is you should know the crew that you're with. You should know the people that you draft with and know the advantages that you can have. If you know how everyone is thinking, and you know the baseline that you could get a guy like Jerick McKinnon in the third round, that is an advantage. If you know you're going to be able to put a couple running backs together in your first three picks if you don't take one in the first round, that is an advantage. Everything that we have seen for the best teams have not had that ability. We have not seen that. So I look at some of these and I think, man, if you could have Hunt and you could have Melvin Gordon, and then you could come back and you could still get guys like maybe Doug Baldwin and Allen Robinson, I still want to do that regardless of how this works out. So we're going to go through more of it. Like I said, six wide receivers taken in the first round of a 12 team. We haven't seen anything like that. So let's talk about maybe the usefulness of this. Let's talk about some of the picks. And we've got some other cool articles. One from our boy Taglieri from Fantasy Pros on wide receiver threes. That could be wide receiver ones, and I think we got a running back one, too. So don't go anywhere. That's Bogman. I'm the Welsh. We'll be back. No show.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and smoking the
in this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Had to get the read up here. If you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports, but you're sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, you have got to try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon signup, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY.
Did I tell you, the Welsh, that college football DFS is coming back? And I'm so upset because our state still does not allow DFS.
Coming back as in like because Fantrax has had it, but you're saying the major sites like Yahoo and stuff are going to...
Well, DFS. Like it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it wasn't anywhere.
Yeah, it was around for a little bit, and then I think the Ed O'Banion lawsuit that, you know, killed NCAA football scared everybody off, so they didn't want to use any names. And then now Yahoo opened up college fantasy football. Fantrax has had it forever and still by far the best. But and now DFS is coming back, and I'm like, it's something I could super take advantage of, but we just can't do it because we live in Arizona.
Yeah, I just don't understand what we're still doing here with all this type of stuff. You know, we've already seen, there's a couple different case studies that have been out there of what is it, like Jersey and a few other places that have legalized even just like sports betting and stuff like that. And you see the type of money per quarter, per month that is coming in. It is just absurd, the push against this stuff. But places like Arizona, where we are specifically, not a lot of people care about it. But you've got, you know, a heavy, heavy influence of casinos and like Indian casinos that are out here. And there's a lot of lobbying that's gone because at the end of the day, whether there's moral things that go on in certain states, whether there's lobbying for places that don't want to allow some of these things because they want gambling to be done right where they can control it and take all the proper taxation that they need. It's unbelievable that we don't have sports betting that is more renowned. We don't have legalized online gambling, though there should be more and better restrictions, and that DFS is still being put into that. I mean, the argument of gambling versus a game of skill is still one of the most asinine things ever. It's like the Bill Clinton, like, please explain, you know, you know where I'm going with that. Like, tell me exactly what you mean. Like, the game is skill versus gambling. All of that mess is so nonsensical, and it's brutal for us. And to you, what you're saying right there, you're a college football guy. For us to not be able to take advantage of DFS, it's crazy. And there's un-American a lot of people out there. It is, you know, un-American.
It's worse than photo radar tickets.
Almost worse than photo radar tickets.
Oh, not quite, though.
Almost worse than the guy that hoards five quarterbacks in a draft just to be a J.J. Watt. Just to be a J.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt. Oh, yeah, I see where you went with that. Take away the J.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. We were taking a look at RotoWorld, put together a little mock draft here. I just can't get over it, and I know I'm not in the right when I look at this and I'm like, this doesn't happen in the real world, because it does happen in the real world. These smart guys in this industry, they just did a draft where apparently you can get Dalvin Cook at 17. Apparently you can get Melvin Gordon at 16. I've never seen it. I don't know where this exists, but if it's happening here, it's happening in your Rube and Boob leagues. You know, people are going to see Odell Beckham. They're going to see DeAndre Hopkins. They're going to see Julio. They're going to take those guys. But to me, this, I look at this and this doesn't put me in a spot where I feel like I'm gaining a lot out of it, because I look at Melvin Gordon at 16 and I'm just like, there's no way. It's not going to be my drafting habit. I am taking Kareem Hunt and Melvin Gordon as that combo at 11 or 12. If I was sitting at 11 and Julio went and I'm like, Melvin Gordon's there, I'm snapping him up, and then all of a sudden Kareem Hunt falls back, I feel fantastic. And then I'm going to be put in a spot based on how this draft went that I could take Doug Baldwin and Amari Cooper, or Doug Baldwin and Allen Robinson.
Yeah, it's I'm with you as far as I don't know if I get much from this mock, but it is interesting going into the draft weekends and everything, seeing how some people still draft. And this is you know, Chris Harris has said this for a long time. We're kind of on the, you know, draft running backs because they're thin. He's never really done that. That's kind of been the thing that he holds to. And it seems like everyone in this draft holds to that too. I'm just going to take the guy that's going to score more points.
Yeah.
Whereas with our guy, Joe Pisapia, it's about relative position value. And their running back is so thin and such a gamble this year at the end that I just feel like you're at such an advantage if you take two. So, and that's what we've been preaching. So when we do ITL drafts with our listeners and they listen to the stuff that we say, it's never going to happen like this ever, just like the Welsh said. So I don't know how much I pulled from it. I did find one pick very interesting in the top four rounds. Chris Hogan went in the fourth round. And where did he? So he went 40th overall. Let's see. Yeah, 40th overall. He went before Juju Smith-Schuster went. He went before.
No, he went after.
No. He went after.
Dude, he went before Allen Robinson.
Derrick Henry, Jarvis Landry in a PPR league.
Dude, even Brandon Aaron Rodgers.
I just don't get it. Like, I wouldn't take him ahead of Jameson Crowder, and Crowder went at 72.
Dude, I see Royce Freeman went in the fifth round. I'm taking Royce Freeman before Chris Hogan. But here's the deal. Here's what ends up happening, though, is this is us being that sideline guy that's like, well, this is crazy. That's right. Fine. Evan Silva, he likes Chris Hogan. They see their projections and they go with it. It's not where we're at. It's not. I see things in this draft that I'm like, wow. Like, I like Emmanuel Sanders a lot. Emmanuel Sanders went in the fifth round of this draft.
Can you do me a favor? Can you look at the Fantasy Pros ADP of Chris Hogan? Because I just can't imagine.
Overall or at the position?
The ADP, not the ranking. Oh, just average draft position. All because right. He went 40 here, and that could just look. This happens many, many times. Where someone will do a mock draft and take a player just to make a statement, hey, this is how much I like this guy. I know I don't necessarily have to take him here at 40, but so everybody knows how in I am on a guy like Chris Hogan, that's why I would wind up snapping him up here. So, because I can't imagine that he goes much higher than 65.
He actually goes lower. I think you're both going to be surprised at this. 57.
57.
Yeah. But you know what I think
that
this
would
is?
Be the same exact spot, just a one round lower.
This is interesting. There's something to be said about this. And this comes back to knowing the people that you're drafting with can be a really important tool. We did an episode, we called it the ranks analysis, where we looked at the ranks of the different sites. We went to Yahoo, we went to ESPN, you know, the sites that you draft off of. And we kind of were like, okay, what are the trends we see here? Where are places that don't line up with how we believe, and we say, here's where you can take advantage. The same thing applies for the people that you draft with. Knowing the people, knowing their tendencies, knowing their likes, you know, getting kind of involved in that, it's a step in the right direction to let you know the moves you need to make. And where I'm going with this is for most of them, we've had a decent relationship with the Roto World basketball guys. Like, most of those guys like us, maybe not all now. But we've done a lot of mocks with them, and something I've noticed that's happened is people start to know who your guys are. You know what I mean? And we've seen this in the mock drafts where people start to know, and I have this vivid memory of it a couple years ago with, like, Miles Turner was an example, where, like, we know where he's going for the rest of the public, but because people really like this player, happened with CJ McCollum too, and he started going drastically higher than you really needed to, but it was happening so much it felt like the norm. I think you take a look at a situation like this and you see Chris Hogan going 40, this is probably a scenario where you kind of know everybody might be in on the same thing. This is a group of the same people. You know, everyone knows this is his guy, and this is where you had to take him. So sometimes in drafts, you're going to have to make your stand.
Do you have that ADP pulled up still?
Yeah.
Where is Sammy Watkins going?
Sammy Watkins is going 76.
Okay. Because he went, he went 81 in this draft. And I was just like I don't know. I'm just low on Chris Hogan.
No, but that's where I was trying to go with it, Boggs. Like, here's our problem. Here's Bogman and I's problem. I'm not with that. Neither one of us are with Chris Hogan. So we look at that and we're like, there's no chance in any world we're taking Chris Hogan before Allen Robinson, before Jarvis Landry. No. Bogman, you want all the late quarterbacks. If you had to take Chris Hogan or Aaron Rodgers, who would you take?
I'd take Aaron Rodgers. I don't like Chris Hogan. It's not that I don't like Chris Hogan. Like, Chris Hogan is with Tom Brady, and that's the attraction, and I get it. Julian Edelman suspended the first four games. That's going to be great production for him. You know, they cut all the other guys that could possibly seem to make an impact, except for maybe sexy Eric Decker.
Bogman,
you know, but
Brandon Cooks, Demaryius Thomas, and Golden Tate all went after.
taking all those dudes over Chris Hogan. And I like Chris. I like Chris Hogan as a player, but he like Chris Hogan should be going to me, you know, more close to where Sammy Watkins is going. It shouldn't be vice versa.
Okay, who's your Chris Hogan? Who's the guy that, like I said, I look at this situation. Mm-hmm. He loves Hogan. This is his guy. He knows he's not coming back. It had to come back to 57. And he's assuming everyone knows the deal. There's no chance it gets back to him. So he's taking his guy. Cool. Who are we to judge? We're a bunch of nobodies. Who are the ones that we're going to judge? No way we're doing it. He's doing it. Who's your guy? Who's the
Robbie
guy?
Robbie Anderson.
Is it Rob? Because I wanted to say it was Golden Tate for you.
Well, Golden Tate, yes. I mean, I love. Where did Golden Tate go? Because if stupid Chris Hogan went ahead of Golden Tate.
I just told you that. I literally just told you that.
I wasn't listening to anything.
Thank you. You weren't listening to a word that I said. He went in the fifth round.
That's really.
Dude, he went after Corey Davis, Bogman.
There are two players, the Welsh, that especially in PPR, there are two players in the last 4 years that have had 90 catches at least. It's Antonio Brown and Golden Tate. That's it. It's those two dudes last 4 years. That is consistency all the way through and through and through.
I want to throw a couple.
Why would Golden Tate go behind Chris Hogan?
I want to throw a couple things out here and tell me. Ridiculous. I'm not trying to be picky here, but I'm seeing stuff that it's just too wild to me. I don't know what I'm getting out of this. Ronald Jones in the ninth round at 99. Just soak on these for a minute here, Bogman. A little soaking. Hold on. I just want to read them off because just live with it here for a second. It's going to be a little bit tough. Nick Chubb in the 12th round at 140 overall.
All right.
DJ Moore in the 11th round at 127. Maybe.
I can handle that one.
Maybe. Okay. Where was the other one that I... Why won't this go over? Oh, Andrew Luck in the 12th round at 133.
I can even handle that.
You can handle it, but it's not happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kirk Cousins went round 12 as well. The quarterbacks just fell in this draft. So I get like, okay, Ronald Jones, I guess I could probably handle a little bit. Just because running backs fall in this draft so much.
Well, I mean, obviously based on what's happening in this one.
Right, exactly. So but this let me see, like, who are some running backs that went ahead of him?
Jones ADP? What world are we living in?
Aaron Jones went ahead of him. I've been the champion and purveyor of Aaron Jones, but I'm going to take Ronald Jones over Aaron Jones. No relation all day long.
And Nick Chubb, by the way, has an ADP of 107. And where did I say he went in this one?
140.
140.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Carlos Hyde should be getting a bump, but I don't know if it should completely be at the cost of Nick Chubb. Because Nick Chubb is just, he's a lottery ticket guy. He's a guy that you can get closer to the end of your draft than towards the front, and you could hit a home run with that pick. That's like what happened with Alvin Kamara last year. Everyone who took Alvin Kamara, I bet you there's a huge correlation of championships and teams that drafted Alvin Kamara. Because they took that lottery ticket of a guy that not too many people were talking about, and it absolutely hit.
You're probably right about that.
Ahead.
Two interesting ones. It is interesting. This guy, Gardner over here, Craven Gardner, who had the 10th pick, he took, I think, two of the buzziest wide receivers in all of the land right now. Emmanuel Sanders, who he took in the fifth round at 58 overall, is interesting, but Sanders has a Fantasy Pros ADP of 91 right now. So that's how much higher he went. And then the guy he took in the next round, trying to find his ADP, is Marquise Goodwin, who he took in the 60s. And Marquise Goodwin, if you go on to Fantasy Pros, ADP-wise, why in the hell can I not even find him?
I feel like, to be honest, I almost said, when you said, who's your guy, I almost said Marquise Goodwin. Because Marquise Goodwin has always been my dude. He went to Texas. I was always loved him. You know, ran the hurdles in the Olympics.
73 Goodwin is.
73, and he went 63 here. So it's not, I mean, it's still a round off, but it's not.
Look at Emmanuel Sanders, 40.
Yeah,
40 up. 40 but I'm spots. Taking Emmanuel Sanders over Goodwin, though.
Yeah, I am too. Barely.
Okay. Barely?
Yeah, I mean, this Manny Sanders has injury history, so he's always hurt with Pittsburgh. He's been hurt with Denver a bunch, too. So
I would say this is why doing the by the way, your boy Robbie Anderson went 61 in that draft.
Oh, 61. Yeah, yeah. I need glasses because I thought it said 81. Yep,
that'd be 61. He went two spots in front of Marquise Goodwin and three spots after Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, I think he should be in that tier, and he usually isn't. I've been snapping him up way later. I've been getting him in the 80s in a lot of drafts.
Okay, well, this is interesting because, like I said, I do think it's interesting looking at those, comparing different ones. If you guys want, we've got 9 different mock drafts over at InThisLeague.com that you can read the results of. We've got a 16-man. We've got Superflex, 2 quarterback, PPR standard, even half PPR. And here's what's good. Go and do comparisons. Find the trends. You know, obviously, our most recent ones are going to probably be the most helpful for players like Jonathan Williams, Alshon Jeffrey, Adrian Peterson. But there's a lot of overall draft trends that you can look at, because that's the way to approach it. You find your guys, you see where the values are, take advantage potentially in the draft that you're at, and know the spots that you're put in. So if you want to say, I'm going to take the wide receiver, then the running back, if you're comfortable with the people you're drafting with, that you can maybe get a Jordan Howard in the third or Jerick McKinnon in the third, then you're making a smart move. If you know it's going to be running back hoarded, maybe you want to make sure you lock up those two running backs. And then when all those beautiful, sexy wide receivers fall, you start snapping those guys up. But this leads to an interesting thing, and we can obviously talk if you have more information you want to go out on the mock draft. But our guy Taglieri over at Fantasy Pros, he wrote an article of the wide receiver threes with wide receiver one potential. And what's interesting about that is there are a few names that we just talked about. So we might be able to hit some of those players and see where we agree, where he agrees. And oh boy, there is one on here that I am dying to talk about, because this is way different than what's going on with him across the industry. So tune in for that for the final segment of In This League. That's Bogman. I'm the Welsh. We're over at InThisLeague.com, and find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. Hey, tweet at us. Maybe we'll give you some help, or we'll yell at you. I don't know. We'll do something. Bogman's helpful when he's actually on Twitter, so he'll give you some draft advice. Here's his draft advice. Take Marquise Goodwin, take Robbie Anderson, win title. We'll be back.
Yeah.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Oh, it's final segment. So sad. Big draft weekend. But guess what? We got a whole bunch more for you coming up this week over on the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. We're going to do a listener centric episode, so you can send in questions, ballbag at InThisLeague.com. And then we're going to do this big show we do where we go through predictions, we go through the shares that we have across drafts, and we play one of our favorite games. It's called The Chicken. So we'll be doing all of that across these next two episodes. Plus, you can also find us over on the Fantasy Black Book with Joe Pizzapia, where we just continuously break down more football. So in between this show and the next time we talk and the next final draft weekend, we will have 4 other shows to talk to you about.
I think I'm single-handedly keeping Burger King open.
Oh, really?
I don't even like Burger King that much, but it's so quick. You know why I like Burger King? Because there's never a line there.
Because it's the worst fast food on the planet.
There's just never a line. And by the way, I go there and I always get a number 2, which is a double Whopper. I add the cheese, and then I go no pickle, no tomato, because they're disgusting. So,
dude, I'm so sick, by the way, of places. Why do you have to add the cheese? Why does any place not
that factors
give you
into
cheese?
The story.
Okay.
I go there today. I go, I want a number 2 with cheese, no pickle, no tomato. And she's like, the number 2 has cheese. I was like, oh, snap. They must have added cheese to it. No, they changed the whole menu around. So the 17 people that actually still go to Burger King are now confused by the menu, because it's not a double Whopper. Now it's called a Texas Whopper, and they add bacon. And look, bacon is great on everything. I just think it's a little bit much on a burger. For the amount of burgers that I eat, I'm not going to add bacon as well. So
Like if you eat it like once like a month or once a week or something, you're probably adding it. But when you eat it two times a day, you can't have bacon
all
the time.
I'm going for a burger right after this. I already had Burger King today. So it's going to be burger. I'm wimpy till I have a stroke.
Gross.
So but now it's got all this jalapenos and stuff on it. And,
I would throw it at their face if they put jalapenos on my burger.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know they changed the menu within the last couple weeks, because I got to be honest, I actually haven't been there in like 3 weeks just because it's gross. And, you know, I've just not been into it. But I went there today and I was
Burger King isn't sponsoring anything on this network, by the way.
I mean, they can barely afford to stay open. I don't think they're sponsoring.
That's
anything.
A good point. All right. Sorry. Finish what you're saying.
But I just like, who else goes to Burger King? Does anybody else hit it up?
No.
Because I go there because there's not a line ever. And that's what I like.
Dude.
I like no lines.
Okay. Let's follow the trail then real quick. Tell me a place. It's got to be. You can't get obscure with it. Tell me a relatively popular place that has a worse burger than Burger King.
Ooh.
There isn't.
McDonald's,
nope.
Like...
No. McDonald's, they are not the best, but they are hard middle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to McDonald's for chicken nuggets, you know. On the occasion, I want a fillet of fish, which actually that sounds good. I might do that tonight instead.
Okay. It's still, but, you can't. They're the worst burger. Okay. Now, there's, I might give you one on this. Tell me a place that has worse French fries.
Then Burger, there is none.
Well, Wendy's.
The Burger King?
Wendy's are worse French fries.
Ooh, no, I don't think so. I like the Wendy's fries better.
Okay.
It's close.
So either way, whether they're second or worst at burger, second or worst at fries, the two most important products are the worst or the second worst of anybody out there. And they also don't have any other redeeming factors to them. There's nothing else that gets you there. Like, you know, you could go to like, if you didn't like McDonald's and maybe you're a psychopath and don't like their fries and you don't like their burgers, or if you don't like the burgers, they got the fries. You didn't like either, they've got the McFlurry. Who doesn't like the McFlurry? Or you go get the...
I mean, I'm not big on their shakes, because we have Jack in the Box that uses real ice cream out here.
Ooh,
not that plastic
real
stuff.
Real ice cream.
It's actually ice cream. It's not whatever plastic that is in a McFlurry. It's not real
ice
cream.
I know. They're like technically vegan because it's not dairy.
Well, yeah, it's also like one chemical away from being a rubber.
Yeah, but their burgers really like aren't even meat either. So it's almost a vegan restaurant. But like even like Wendy's, their Frosties. Their Frosties are amazing.
Their Frosties are fine.
They're still great.
What I should have done was I should have gone to Five Guys, but I didn't want to stand in the line. Five Guys takes forever. It's so much better. And I always have to get a chocolate peanut butter shake whenever I'm there. And it's also like $17 when you're leaving there, where, you know, go to stupid Burger King, they're like $9,
dude,
you know.
But it's the whole point here is that Burger King is like the Blockbuster of fast food. It's dead. Yeah, I know. That's where I'm going with it. They are archaic. They're done. They're the Toys R Us. They're out of it. Amazon has them done. By the way, how long is it going to take until Amazon just completely gets rid of all the fat? They're going to start slowly buying all the fast food restaurants, and it's going to be everything.
It's going to be like in Demolition Man, where everything
is Taco Bell. 100%.
Except for it's going to be Amazon. You want to go to Amazon to eat?
I guarantee it. That's where we're heading. I told you before, I think Amazon is going to buy Uber, and what they're going to do is they're going to start using Uber to just deliver all their products, and the delivery drivers are going to end up just being like Amazon drivers. And it's not going to just be the food stuff, because I think Amazon will start doing the one day delivery, not just drones. They'll then use the Uber drivers where they have a location in all the places around the country, and they'll do like 5 hour delivery.
I mean, that'd be great. I'm all for it. You know,
then
what?
The lizard people are going to take over. And then it's a conspiracy. No, I'm not going to go into that.
There we go.
Don't ban me from Twitter or Facebook. All right.
Didn't he just get banned from everything? Didn't like every podcast network take Alex Jones off? And
I think so.
He's just gone, right? He's like Burger King.
I don't think he ever really truly goes away. So
that's true.
Like Roaches and Alex Jones will always be around. So, but Burger King, the worst of everything.
Well, yep.
Yeah. Nothing. Definitely. Do they even sell any other products there?
Yeah, I think they have like a chicken burger, of course. Remember they had the chicken fries. That was their thing for a while.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
But I tried them once. They're not that good.
No, they look horrible. Everything about it is just awful. They're the most overrated. Who's an overrated? The Kenyan Drake of fast food places. No shares. Mike Tagliari, we interviewed him over on the Fantasy Black Book with Pizza P. If you want to go take a listen to it. When did we do that? Like 2 weeks ago?
2-3 weeks ago.
Yep. Okay. Well, we talked about lots of stuff. He's got an article out that looks recent. I don't see a date on it, but it has to do with wide receiver threes that have that wide receiver one potential. And the reason I really like that piece of the conversation is it more pushes to the idea of taking the early running backs, regardless of what we see in the Roto World mock or maybe what you're going to see in like Fantasy Pros, you know, 8 overall rank. You see the stuff that they're putting out there. But at the end of the day, we want early running backs. And when we can target some of these wide receivers that have that higher potential, we're in business. Now, here are the first, I'm going to just list out the first four. And we'll talk
I see
about
the guy you were talking about pre-break here.
Yeah, you do. So the first four that show up here as, quote, wide receiver threes with wide receiver one potential are Corey Davis, Chris Hogan, Marquise Goodwin, and Robbie Anderson. So I know how you feel about Robbie Anderson and Goodwin, and we know how you feel about Hogan, but what about Corey Davis when you see him on this list?
I completely agree with this. I think that Corey Davis has tons of upside, especially with Rishard Matthews kind of being banged up and behind the eight ball to start the year. He'll probably be good to go for week one, but, you know, we just never know if you're not getting in camp, you're not getting all those reps, if you're going to be rip-roaring and ready to go. Plus, you know, rookie year to second year is usually a big jump for players. So the third year being the biggest jump, but Corey Davis is he's a high-end talent, so I could easily see this happening for him.
I don't see any of these guys being wide receiver ones.
I wouldn't bet on it at all.
Okay.
But you got to be in the top 12 to be a wide receiver.
I know. That's why I'm saying, like, I can see a majority. Like, I just don't see Robbie Anderson. Like, I'm just that
Who's
guy.
Who's most likely? Yeah, you hate Robbie Anderson.
I do.
So Marquise let's take Goodwin. Him out. So Goodwin over Davis?
To be a wide receiver one?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know what I hate to do because I just crapped on it? But if you really want to talk, like, if you want to just talk true upside to get there, it almost feels like, and this is why people maybe are going nuts about it, it feels like it's Chris Hogan because
really?
Of Tom Brady. Well, no, just follow me. If he was the number one wide receiver with Tom Brady, Chris Hogan is probably going to be a top 12 wide receiver. The problem, and especially with the touchdowns, like he might be a big red zone or touchdown guy for the team. The problem is you have to buy into that, which I don't buy into that because they've got Gronk. They've got a million receivers, multiple that can catch. Edelman will be back. You know, they've got a lot of guys that like to spread the field. So I don't see Hogan truly being that. But if you were to say, like, the guy, I guess I don't believe it, but I'd have to say Hogan because I don't believe any of these guys could be a number one. But if you change the question to who do you think would be the most fantasy efficient this year, who will be the top guy of these four? That's when I say Goodwin.
I think Corey Davis, just because he's supremely talented. He was dragging around that leg injury for half the year last year. So I just think that there's tons of upside there. And I like Goodwin and I like Anderson, too. To be honest, like Hogan is last for me out of this bunch. I get it. I understand why.
You know
people,
what I'm saying? Like, if
yeah,
you're,
no,
if,
no. I understand. And this is the whole build your own narrative, right? We've talked about this a whole offseason. It's we're going to give you the information. You have to decide whether you like or dislike this guy. This is the potential. And with New England, you have Brandon Cooks is gone. Julian Edelman suspended the first four games. Jordan Matthews got
cut.
They just cut Kenny Britt, you know. But I just, for whatever reason, I just can't buy into Chris Hogan being a wide receiver one. I can't see it.
No, man, I see the reality to it. And that's why I said, like, I hate saying if there was a guy that could actually be a wide receiver one, I'm going to say Hogan because of the Brady factor here. But I don't think any of these guys would be wide receiver ones. But what I do believe is Marquise.
Do you believe
Goodwin
in that enough
in
to take Chris
love?
Hogan to take Chris Hogan over Corey Davis when you're drafting?
No.
Okay.
That's why I said, like, I don't believe it at all. I'm just trying to paint the narrative of it because I truly just don't see any of these guys doing it. But if you want to play pretend land, Chris Hogan seems like, because I just don't I don't know if the Titans are. Rishard Matthews, like, everyone has spent their time talking down about why, you know, he's hurt and da-da-da.
Well, they have Taylor. They have Deion Lewis is going to catch the ball.
Right
Walker's
there.
Still
Walker
there.
Walker is still
Johnny
a guy.
Smith is developing. Like, I don't think any of these guys are going to be a wide receiver one either. I just, like, if I had to pick one, he would be the dude.
Here's the wildest one. Well, actually, you know what? Let's skip it real quick, because let me give the last three so we can kind of settle on that. And I want to talk about one guy that is missing here that I think is criminally, especially in this type of conversation, should not be or should be in here. The other three, skipping this one, Kelvin Benjamin, he puts in here, Alan Hearns, and Marquise Lee. And it's funny because under Benjamin, Taglieri writes, I feel gross even putting him here. But I think what a big piece of the narrative to all of these guys are, and when you're asking yourselves, how the hell are any of these guys going to be put in this list? It's about targets and being the number one. You're going to notice a trend on all of these guys. Yep. Arguably, though, I think Chris Hogan and Corey Davis and Marquise Goodwin, I guess, for that matter. But for the most part, these are all number ones. Kelvin Benjamin's the number one in Buffalo. Alan Hearns, number one in Dallas. Marquise Lee, number one in Jacksonville. That's how this is being built here. These are teams that throw the ball. Buffalo, maybe, I don't know. But these are teams that throw the ball to a number one. Jacksonville
Yeah, they don't throw that much, though. Their team has played defense and hand the ball to Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, but
so.
Bortles likes to air it out, especially when they're down.
Yeah, I guess, God, who would you pick out of this group? You say it before me.
Well, there's no one that could be a number one. Like, I think this group, the ceiling is a low-end wide receiver.
This is even less,
too.
But if you had to pick one, gun to your head.
Alan Hearns.
That's the one I was going to say, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Alan Hearns. We've talked a
lot
about
Alan
Hearns.
He's got to stay healthy.
Yeah, for value. Kelvin Benjamin's trash, and Marquise Lee I like in like a full PPR. But here's the one that is wild to me. Devontae Parker. And it's only wild because of the insanity injury stuff that's going on. You and I were huge Devontae Parker guys coming into this year and most of the offseason. Then you get how bad this setup has been for him. The injuries, the whole, like, we're not trading him. We're not going to trade him. Like, oh, no one asked you, dude.
Guess what? We're not doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And him being put in here, it's wild to see, but I don't disagree with it. If he can be healthy, this is the upside that we're looking at. And his cost right now, I mean, according to the article, says the 43rd wide receiver. I'm going to look while you talk.
I really like Parker, and I really like the opportunity with Jarvis Landry going and not being on this team anymore. Just because, like, they added Danny Amendola, they added Albert Wilson, but they're not looking to go sign Dez Bryant. Which, by the way, that looks like a good idea, right?
I know.
And why wouldn't you want to live in Miami, Dez? Go sign there. Just get a job somewhere.
Dude, earlier we talked about like the guys that their value is dropping so low that they're becoming targets. That's what Parker's starting to become.
Right.
I think he is. Don't you agree? I mean, now that he's going as a wide receiver four, it's so much more enticing.
Yep. Yeah, and I've taken him in a couple spots, even with this injury, just because I feel like he still can wind up being a number one. I'm more interested about who's off this list that you wanted to talk about. Who is that guy?
Well, it's someone I've talked about, and in the episode with Matt Harmon, it's identified. And he identifies it even on Twitter. He says the best wide receiver value in all the land. I asked the question on there of his top 36 guys. Is this guy the best value? And in the Roto World mock, he went 40 spots higher than his average rank. It's Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders is, and Harmon writes about him being a guy that could surpass the better, quote, teammate. That's an interesting article you can check out. Teammates that could surpass each other. And Emmanuel Sanders is a target hog who has a potential. It's wild to say wide receiver one, but I think he could overpass Demaryius Thomas. And I think he's one of the best values in the draft. So I'm just surprised when we're talking about guys like Robbie Anderson and Kelvin Benjamin that he doesn't come up. But I think you see the formula in what this article is, like we just talked about in Taglieri's. It's about guys that are wide receiver ones that are lower valued. Emmanuel Sanders is not a wide receiver one, but he's got a great connection with Keenum.
Yeah. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is an immensely talented guy, but the reason I don't think that he could fly into that wide receiver one is because Cortland Sutton has looked so good. He's looked so good so quickly, so early, that I think that all these guys could wind up eating into each other, and it could just be like a DFS
human
coin
centipede.
Flip.
fantasy football
good
centipede.
Lord.
They're just heads to butts, and no one knows what to do, and you just everyone's just hoping
calling
that they're
the
guy.
Calling the Broncos wide receivers the fantasy human centipede is the worst thing that's been said today, out of all the gross things that have been said.
Hey, does someone want to make that meme? Go make that meme out there for us, right, Bogman? Let's put who goes on top.
I think I called it a meme.
Yeah,
meme. Yeah.
Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders in the middle. That's a worse spot.
Oh, that's a worse spot. Yep.
Ooh, Cortland Sutton on the end.
Probably.
All right. God. Hey, guess who we could put on the end? Jake Butt. How you like me now? How you like me now? All right. That's it. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Joke. Hope you guys rock your drafts. Hit us up on Twitter if you want. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Talk to you guys next time. Peace out.
See you.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.